When I started putting these things into practice, when I started getting happy in the face of persecution and just rejoicing in the Lord and thanking Him really for His deliverance in the midst of it, it changed me on the inside. I really believe that's what happens. It changes us on the inside.
When someone comes against your faith, what is your first reaction? Do you bite back or remain steadfast in peace? Find out how to respond on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Pastors George and Terry Pearsons.
I'm Pastor George Pearsons. This is my wife, Pastor Terry Pearsons, the beautiful.
And Terry Pearson's the beautiful. That's great. I like that. Can we put that on all my tape series now?
We could. Terry Pearson's the beautiful.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much.
And you're watching the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We've been on the broadcast all this week, thanks to Kenneth and Gloria, who said, take it, kids. So here we are. And all this week.
Makes me feel young to hear those words, kids.
Kids.
It's nice to hear that from time to time.
Okay, kid.
Yep.
And so all this week on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Terry and I have been talking about persecution. You know, Terry, persecution is something that is inevitable. The Scripture tells us that those who live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of all of that, we can know by the Word of God how to handle it, how to deal with it, so that we can remain fixed, rooted, grounded, established in the Word of God, and really unaffected by it.
I like that word. That was the word that the Lord gave you actually 4 years ago, and he said that persecution was coming,
right?
But that we could be in a place, if we prepare, that we won't be unaffected.
Unaffected.
I like
by
that
it.
Word.
So all of this week we've been talking about what not to do when facing persecution, and when you learn about what not to do, you learn about what to do in the midst of it.
Yeah,
and
because
so,
you know, if you don't know what not to do, you can mess up what you do.
Right.
If you do the nots, but don't do the do's. Anyway.
Okay. Let's take a look at what we've learned so far. Number one, what not to do when facing persecution. First of all, don't take it personally. It's not about you. Matthew tells us, everyone will hate you because of me, Jesus said. Number two, don't bite back. Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Number three, we found out that we are to not forget our roots. Don't forget your roots. Colossians 2 tells us, sink your roots in Him. Number four, don't blow your cover. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Number five, don't freak out. Isaiah 51:7-8, fear not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. Number six, don't worry, be happy. Happy are you when they insult you and persecute you. And number seven, don't swerve from the word. The 119th Psalm says, many are my persecutors and adversaries, and I do not swerve from your testimony. So, Terry, we're going to look at two more today. This first one we're going to look at is Don't Freak Out. Would you like to sing that song for us all?
I can't, you know, you can't help what you remember, and you came out with that in church, and I could hear all through the congregation. It's just, if I could hear minds all over, everybody over probably 35 or 40 could remember, freak out.
Well,
I'm not sure they heard anything you said after that. Just some, anyway.
So no. The key here is don't freak out.
Yeah, don't fret. Don't be in fear.
Open your Bible.
Don't panic.
Isaiah 51. And let me just read something to you. These are actually the notes from my series on persecution that I taught here at Eagle Mountain International Church. And if you'd like those, if you'd like to follow along with us or have them as reference, there are so many scriptures that we've not been able to get to. But just log on to kcm.org and the information will be right there. You can download, you can print them out, keep them, studying them,
or
review them.
Or you can have your children do it for you, whatever is necessary.
Whatever is necessary. Yeah. The purpose of persecution...
That's what children are for.
...is to strike fear into the heart of man, thus forcing him to back down from his boldness and his courage to preach the uncompromised word of God. Fear is a tactic. And is most definitely a tactic used by the devil within the context of persecutions, threats. The purpose of fear is to make people stop, to hesitate, to waver, to question their faith in the integrity of the word of God.
Intimidate.
And to intimidate. And in Isaiah 51, 7 and 8, I'm not sure how different it is from the Amplified. You can read it, though. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. Now, look, verse 8 says, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. So that verse 7, Terry, does that say anything different from the King James?
7 doesn't say, it's pretty much the same. Listen to me, you who know righteousness and justice and right standing with God. The people in whose heart is my law and my instruction, which goes to some of the things we've already talked about, and being rooted, grounded in the Word of God.
Right.
And he says,
you
have to know it for it to help you. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be afraid, nor dismayed at their revilings, which revilings would be insults.
Right.
It says, give no thought to their current way of talking and thinking. In comparison with the Lord, they are so weak that things as insignificant as the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my rightness and justice and faithfully fulfilled promises shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations.
Praise God. Praise God. I've got several translations here. One says, don't be afraid of people's scorn, nor fear their insults. Another one here says, that's the one we just read. Have no fear of the evil words of men, and give no thought to their curses. Another one says, be not overcome by their contempt. One translation says, don't be discouraged when others insult you and say hurtful things. Don't be afraid when people taunt and insult you. Don't be discouraged by their ridicule. Pay no attention to insults. And when mocked, don't let it get you down. And so the threats are a tactic of fear. Let's look over at Acts chapter 4, Terry. Acts chapter 4. And we find here that the apostles were threatened by those that were in charge. And in Acts chapter 4... they were told, Acts 4:17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And so they were threatened. They said in verse 20, but for we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. And so verse 21 says, so when they had further threatened them, again, this is a fear tactic. Fear is used by the devil to shut down the preaching of the word. When they had further threatened them, they let them go. And when they went back to their company, now look down here at verse 29. They went back after they were threatened and told not to preach the name of Jesus anymore. And they began to pray and declare the word. And in verse 29, it says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they might speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Terry, something happened to them. They were threatened. They had to make a choice. They could have come back to their own company and said, look, guys, we need to wrap this up. They're after us. They're going to try to shut us down. So maybe we just ought to cool it for a while, not preach on the name of Jesus anymore. Or they were going to take the word of God and go back out there in boldness. I mean, that inspires me.
They did what you've already stated. Was it number two, don't bite back?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. They didn't bite back, but they took it to the Lord, and they didn't pray, kill them, Jesus, just kill them now.
Yeah.
They didn't pray that.
Yeah.
But instead, they prayed that the Lord would give them freedom of utterance to speak the word with the boldness and courage. They and said, move by the power and name of your holy child, Jesus. And you know, sometimes, George, and the Lord, he steps out on our behalf. It's not always what we think it would be.
Right. Right. I mean, they took up, and we all have a choice to make. We're all threatened. People mm-hmm. threaten. They threaten the ministry here. People have threatened us in our neighborhood. I mean, there are all kinds of different threats that come up. They threaten to sue you. They threaten to, and you know, when it's based in the Word of God and it's because of your faith and for your stand, the thing that we have to do is not fear. Absolutely not fear. And that's the point that the Lord was endeavoring to bring out to me during this study on persecution was, don't ever allow fear to enter in when the threats come. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, and I want you to read from the Amplified Translation because this is so powerful, and this really should demonstrate the attitude of the believer. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28, it says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." Terry, read the Amplified Translation.
"Do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, a proof, and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God."
Now, there's attitude in that.
Attitude.
I love that. Do not for a moment.
I like attitude.
Do that again. That's attitude. "Do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and or adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, a proof and a seal of their impending destruction." A couple of other translations. "Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies." Another one. "Not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition. Your courage and your unity will show them what they're up against." Another one, "Stop being intimidated in any way by ones being in opposition. Have no fear of those who are against you." Let's see. "Never for a moment quail before your antagonists. Your fearlessness will be to them a sure token of impending destruction." J.B. Phillips translation says, "I may know that you're standing fast in united spirit, battling with a single mind for the faith of the gospel and not caring two straws for your enemies." And the Pastor George translation says, "Not caring two hoots and a holler about what they think." And so we are to not fear in the face of persecution. This next one is a real, I love this because it really gives us some instruction on how we are to deal with persecution. In Matthew chapter 5, and Terry, read from, if you would, verse 10, 11, and 12. Matthew chapter 5, 10, 11, and 12. And then the name of this point is, "Don't worry, be happy." Do that again. "Don't worry."
It's like an illustrated sermon.
An illustrated sermon.
So you're doing the sermon, and I'm
illustrating
it. And I'm doing a fine job, don't you think?
Really doing a fine job. Okay, read your scripture, Terry. Matthew 5 and verse 10.
Just verse 10.
No, 10, 11, 12.
10, 11, and 12. I get to read a lot. "Blessed and happy." I'm happy.
I know. We've just moved into that happiness place.
The happy part. "Blessed and happy and enviably fortunate and spiritually prosperous," that's a mouthful, in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction, regardless of his outward conditions, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions, are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account. Now, that's something we have to be sure is that what people are saying is actually false. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just don't want to admit it. We don't like what people say.
Right.
But if it's true, then we're the problem and not them. Be glad and supremely joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, strong, and intense. For in this same way, people persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Happy are you whenever they insult you and persecute you, and by lying say every word, evil word against you because of me. Happy are you when men give you a bad name and are cruel to you and say all evil things against you falsely because of me. Here's another one. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of evil lies against you because you are my followers. And this is a good one from the Message translation. Count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit you. What it means is...
To discredit.
What it means is that the truth is too close to comfort, and they are uncomfortable.
That is really I think that is at the heart of most the persecution that arises. So people are uncomfortable. Number one, they can be uncomfortable because they're jealous. But a lot of times they're uncomfortable because your own life, even if you're not meaning to, convicts them, and they can't
Your
live
life
in
convicts them. Yes.
They can't live in their sin freely.
Yeah,
and it challenges them, and they want to shut you. Just the presence of God on your life, even if they don't know what it is, they want to revile against you.
The force of joy is a powerful force in our lives. You know, Terry, even while I was preaching all of this, and I had actually been studying about don't worry, be happy, we got a letter in the mail about something. And I had to put this into practice. I actually had to stand there and look at it and laugh at it. Just laugh out loud. And confess some of these scriptures. Happy am I when they insult me and they persecute me and by lying say every word against me. So, and when I did that, though, there was a change on the inside. And there has been a change actually ever since with me on the inside. When I started putting these things into practice, when I started getting happy in the face of persecution and just rejoicing in the Lord and thanking Him really for His deliverance in the midst of it, it changed me on the inside. I really believe that's what happens. It changes us on the inside. And this thing here, turn to Acts chapter 5. In this particular account, in Acts chapter 5, we have, again, the apostles being threatened about their faith and what they're preaching. And Gamaliel, who was a doctor of the law, who said in the midst of them, look, if these things are true, if they're of God, there's nothing we can do about it. But if it's not of God, it's going to go away. Well, in verse 39... he's saying here, if it's of God, you can't overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And they all agreed with him, and when they'd called the apostles, they beat them. Now, I don't know when the last time you were beaten for your faith or I was, but I never have been shot at.
Mm-hmm,
you and I have been shot at before, but to be beaten for our faith. And let me say this right here. I don't want in any way to minimize what people go through. There are people right now in other nations and in other countries that are suffering under tyranny for their faith. Put in prison. They're beaten. They're killed. They're
families
tortured.
Left without a father or mother.
And I am certainly not minimizing that, but there's a place in the Word of God for all of us to rise up in the midst of this and walk by faith. But listen to this. In verse 40, and to him They agreed, and when they'd called the apostles, they beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing.
Rejoicing.
Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In the time of persecution that the church is in, we should get stronger and not weaker. We should become more powerful in our preaching and in our reaching out and not pulling back and not shrinking back.
Well, the church grew in spite of all that.
Yeah.
As soon as they laid hold by faith of joy, they laid hold of confidence, they didn't buy back, they stayed on the word, they did those things we're talking about,
yeah,
the church grew, which is what it's about. It's not about our ease and comfort and
right,
a world without confrontation. But it's about getting the word out that greater is he that's in us.
That's in us than he that's in the world.
That's right.
Let me read this scripture to you. We'll finish up this session, Terry. This is from the New Living Translation. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering or his standing, so that you'll have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world. So be happy when you're insulted for being a Christian." I gave an illustration the other day of people in the break room at work, and how you'll be in there fixing coffee or something, you leave, and a lot of times people will probably be making fun and making light of you. But we are to be happy when we're insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to the godless sinners? So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, what pleases God? Faith.
Yeah, not that you're suffering, but you go through that suffering in a way that pleases him, which is faith and love.
That's right.
Faith and love, and that's what pleases the Lord, and he gets involved with us then.
It says, if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what's right, and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. You know, the word there, happy, in the Greek, Terry, means supremely blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Supremely blessed.
You know, George, when I've seen it happen many times in our lives and others as well, see it in the scripture, is that some of those very people that persecute and make fun and laugh, that when you stand strong anyway, you can't see it or tell it, but God is working on them.
Yeah.
God, your life convicts them whether they want it to or not. And so many times, some of those very people that criticize, complain, when they're in their midnight hour,
yeah,
when they're facing
trouble,
when the baby's sick in the middle of the night, when they're desperate, they know where to go. And that's what we're supposed to be,
yeah,
is that light in a dark place.
That's right.
And sometimes that's the way that light shines the best to those people, is when they're trying to put your light out and you keep shining,
yeah,
then they know where to come when
that's
they're in
exactly
trouble.
Right. You know something? When persecution comes, don't fear. Be happy and walk with Jesus. We'll be right back.
The Bible tells us that we as Christians will face persecution. Maybe it's happening to you at work or in your neighborhood. Maybe you're being investigated by the government or the police when you've done nothing wrong. If you're a Christian, you will face persecution for your faith on one level or another. The good news is God gives us clear instructions on how to deal with persecution and walk in total victory at the same time, living above the pressure, completely fulfilled, and advancing in the things God has called you to do. Persecution, Why in the World Do They Hate Us?, a CD sermon series by Pastor George Pearson's, reveals why the world hates Christians, what can be done about it, and the seven things we must not do when being persecuted. You'll also receive information on how to get a free download of Pastor Terry Pearson's sermon entitled, Raising Lazarus, The Amazing Power of Abiding. Find out what Jesus did when he was faced with persecution. Learn to rise above the intolerance and persecution today. Order your copy of Persecution, Why in the World Do They Hate Us? By Pastor George Pearson's on our website at kcm.org at a special price of $20. Included in your order is information on a free download of Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's dynamic teaching, Raising Lazarus, The Amazing Power of Abiding. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192.
Terry, I'm so thankful for the CD ministry, the opportunity to convey the Word of God, to go back, to be able to study it. And of course, as we talked about in these short sessions that we have here together, it's impossible to get everything out that was taught during this series. And that's why we're offering to you Persecution, Why in the World Do They Hate Us? There are answers in here, and there are there's input to your life of how to live above the persecution and for it to not touch you, for you not to be affected by it. So we're excited about offering this, and I'm also excited, Terry, about your message that we're offering on abiding.
Yes, we just share some things in that message about what Jesus did in the face of persecution, and the result of it was he raised Lazarus from the dead. So there's resurrection power, and in that message, the Lord talks to us about how. So that, along with what you taught, George, I think make really good companions. And if they order yours, then they get the information about the free download when they,
exactly,
when they get it.
Exactly. We've got a great West Coast Believers Convention coming up June 30th through July the 5th. We've got a brand new location, don't we?
Long Beach, California.
Wow, we're excited about that.
Yeah, you know, we are excited because the whole community there has just, with wide open arms, just taken us in to and embraced our ministry and our friends and partners. So it's going to be a wonderful atmosphere there this year. We have Jerry Savelle will be there, of course, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore. My goodness, you need to
be
there.
What a lineup. We've got Super Kid Academy that's going to be out
there. 1440. You know, that's how many minutes there are in a day. Every moment of every day, 1,440. So the teenagers are going to be blessed as well. In fact, you should come just for bringing your teenagers and your children because they need it in the world that they live in. Make a difference for them.
Let me remind you something, too. For those of you that would like to see the services either live at Eagle Mountain International Church or on demand. All of our services, actually, going back to 2005, are on demand. You can go back and look at any of them. We've titled many of those services. Just go to emic.org or go to the KCM website and click on to church. It'll take you on over to the church. And you can join us on Sundays, Wednesdays. We'd look forward to seeing you online. Remember this, we love you so much. God loves you guys. And let's remember this,
Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.